Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the dim moonlight that we can hear from your word and to enjoy one another's company. We have sung our praises to you. We're excited for a new year of PYF, to see old friends and to meet new ones. There's a lot of energy and excitement and anticipation of what you will do in our midst this year. So we wait expectantly. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the generosity of L Square Foundation that makes all this possible. And we thank you for all the people who have come tonight as we wait upon you, as we share our stories, as we join this conversation. You know our hearts, our desires to know you, our desires to live our life for you, our desires to understand and to know how to live out that faith in our everyday life so that we can find rest in you, that we don't have to carry our own burdens by ourselves, but that we have people and we have a God with whom we can share. So thank you for being with us and for us. And I pray that you may use the few words that I share to spark a fire in our midst. And we do it all for your glory and for your name's sake. Amen. I'm going to see if my remote works here. All right, great. I'll take over now. Thank you. Okay, I've got a little remote control, so I'll take over the projector. Ivan has been real helpful for us as we work through all the technical issues tonight. But what I want to unpack for you in the time we have tonight is this idea that following Jesus is becoming a leader. Following Jesus is becoming a leader. And the way I will unpack that is four episodes, three letters, two verses, and one word. First, I want to share four episodes from my own story so that you can get a sense of who I am and what God's done in my life. As I was introduced, my name is DJ Chuang, and I was born in a traditional Chinese family. My dad and mom were both school teachers, and they took a step of faith, desiring opportunity for their three kids, and came to America when I was 8 years old. I'm the oldest of those three boys, and we came to America and settled in the D.C. area. We worked in a family restaurant business for a couple of years. I was cashier at 8 years old, and so I was taking people's money with some suspicion by our customers. But that's how I started my life here in America, helping with the family business, going to school. That was a hard life for us, and my dad looked for other opportunities, and we moved to Winchester, Virginia, to run a motel business. So that was the rest of my junior high and high school years. I grew up in a very small town, 20,000 people. And there was maybe a handful of Asian people. And so I realized what it feels like to be very marginalized and to grow up in a small town and not really have the exposure to the opportunities and what life was really like around the world, much less in a city setting or to even be with people that look like me. That was my early years. The recurring theme of my early years was I wanted to grow up. As I interacted with customers and people that would be part of our business, I think being a kid, I had a high-pitched voice, so a lot of times I was mistaken for being a woman. And I really didn't like that, and I said to myself, boy, I just wanted to grow up. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to grow up. And eventually, I grew up. I was introduced to Christ when I was in high school. A truck driver staying at my parents' motel shared the gospel with me, and it was an invitation to a new life. And that that stirred something in my heart. And so that began my journey in following Christ. Fast forward to my leap of faith. I went to college at Virginia Tech, studied as a computer engineer, as a number of you might, and worked in Southern Maryland as an electrical engineer after I graduated. During those 3 years, I started attending a small Bible church and was being discipled and starting to understand God's Word. It was a formative time for me as I took God's Word more seriously. And I was invited to take a step of faith. But not just a step of faith, I kind of took a leap of faith. As I looked around me, I realized people my age, a lot of my Asian American college friends, were not part of churches. They weren't the least interested in Christianity. And those few that I knew were attending churches didn't really seem to have anything exciting happening in their life. They kind of went to church as part of routine or part of a family habit or part of a family that dragged them along. And so I felt like, well, maybe God could use me if I would do something in serving Him. And that summer of 1999, I started to hear this verse. Matthew 9:37. If the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So not only did I take a step of faith, I took a leap of faith, and I said, maybe I could serve God by being a pastor. And so I packed up all my worldly belongings, drove to Dallas, Texas, and enrolled at Dallas Theological Seminary. So for the next 4.5 years, I studied God's Word, learned theology, and tried to figure out what God wanted me to do with my life. I wanted to be faithful. I went with a willing heart and waited on God to do something. As I heard stories from people, it's like, God will show you what to say. God will show you what to do. Just go in faith. So naive me and innocent me went. Next episode, my test wasn't good enough. So I graduated from seminary and I moved right here to Raleigh, North Carolina. And I served as a youth director at Raleigh Chinese Christian Church. And I recognize a number of faces here that are from that church when you were, smaller kids. And it's great for me to have this opportunity to just reconnect with some of your lives and your stories. And I was here for 2 years. I came newlywed. God surprised us with baby Jeremiah. He was born right up the road here at Rex Hospital. And we did the best we could. I thought people wanted to learn all the stuff I learned at seminary and learn about the Greek and the Hebrew and theology and all this good stuff that I spent time and money learning. But it turns out that ministry is a little more than that. It's not just downloading information that I learned at seminary, but doing pastoral work involves a lot of relationships, involves a lot of programming and administration, and a lot of different things that I wasn't particularly gifted or equipped to do. But I did my best, and I think we had a good time during my 2 years here. I taught my young adult fellowship group to play bridge, and as a going away project, we had 10 of the guys practice playing basketball. And so during our last summer, we practiced playing basketball. We got uniforms together, and we drove up to Chicago, 19 hours away, to play in this Chinese church's basketball tournament. So that was the summer of September 1997. So we drove up there. We were ready to play. And you know what happened? No, we didn't win any games. we went with uniform. We were the best-looking group of kids. But it turns out everybody else there were college or young adults. And we were a bunch of high schoolers. And then during the first or second game, there were these Taiwanese Asian guys that were dunking on us. I said, dude, we're from basketball country. We're here to play. And, oh my goodness, they can dunk. So we just had a fun weekend. It was just going out with a bang. And we learned a lot and just made it a fun time. And we had great team attitude, just enjoying ourselves and enjoying the grace of God in our midst. But I realized that it just wasn't a good fit, and I needed to get a sense of where God was leading me to do with my life. But God uses everything in our life, the hard times, the challenges, the places that don't quite work out, but we still value and treasure those things because life is about learning. So my fourth episode is becoming. At the age of 35, 3 years ago, I'm now 38, I get a sense of becoming more of who God has made me to be. The earlier episodes of my life, I was very much driven by duty and responsibility. I have a certain set of skills and abilities, not a lot, but I wanted to serve God in some sense. I wanted to be a good guy. I did the best I could. And in some sense, I'm a late bloomer. And so 3 years ago, in this sense, God got my attention. After 5 years of pastoral ministry, doing my best, but it just wasn't encompassing everything that I had to offer and everything that God has given to me. Not only does God give me and give you abilities, gifts, talents, but He also gives you desires and passions and interests and personality. And it is when you put all of those things together that you get a better sense of why you're here and what you have to offer to God and what you have to offer to the world. And so 3 years ago, the bottom fell out for me. And it was the hardest time in my life. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Stephen, where's my psychology friend? Stephen? The drummer. Okay, Stephen, what's bipolar disorder?
I have no idea.
Okay, anybody? Bipolar disorder? Jane Pauley has come out with it. Linda Hamilton's come out with it. Yes. Okay, Alice, right? Okay, I'm very happy and very sad sometimes. Easily depressed. Very, very wide mood swings. And thank you. Yes?
Don't you think like sometimes everybody doesn't like you?
Do I think that sometimes everybody doesn't like me? I have those thoughts. I'm not sure that's related to bipolar disorder, but... paranoia, maybe. No. But that was a very hard time. And it was disorienting, and I was at the end of myself. In some sense, I was relying on my best effort trying to live this life. And now I really had to depend on God in a whole nother way. With some help, the support of a loving family, with a counselor, some medicine, some encouragement and counsel, a lot, not just some, I was able to get a sense that what I needed to do to be a whole person was not to only take great leaps of faith, and notice my leaps of faith happened when I was really happy and excited, not look so much at my self and my insecurities and my depression, which does happen, and we all have different moods at times as we're excited or as we're sad, but mine are a little more severe. That I have to take care of myself. So I began to learn how to not only give of myself and give and give and give, but learning to take care of who I was and what I needed to be a little more normal, manage my mood swings, manage my emotions, manage my well-being. And so a few things that I have to do to take care of myself is not to be alone in a room by myself for an extended period of time. Make sure I have a pretty regular routine of sleep and eat good food. Some common sense kind of things, but man, I just wanted to do so much, and I have a knack for finding stressful situations, and well, here I am, three years later, feeling a lot more at peace and accepting who God has made me to be, and being able to offer myself much more freely without the craziness of it all. And so that's where I am now, and I'm still learning. I've learned that I really like ideas. I have lots and lots of new ideas. I don't know what to do with them, but I have lots and lots of ideas. I love to talk about ideas. I'm not particularly good at small talk, but I'm beginning to find what I like and beginning to connect that to the work that I do. So that's been a really gift of grace, and I'm thankful that God seen me through all of that. And I hope by sharing that it would give you a head start so that you don't have to wait till 35 to find that out about yourself, but that you can find out a bit of what God is doing in your life at the age of 15, 18 or so. So following Jesus is, as I am beginning to understand it, becoming a leader. To get us on the same page, here's a family picture. I wasn't able to bring my wife Rochelle and my son Jeremiah with me on this trip, but at least I can show you what they look like. And God worked in our marriage and worked in our family in a very positive way, and we're very grateful to be happy, smiling faces now. So to get us on the same page, what is a leader? This is from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. A leader is a person who leads. A person who has commanding authority or influence. I like to have us focus on the word influence, just for simplicity's sake. So a leader is a person who leads and who has influence. And for those of us who have begun to follow Christ, I want you to think about this idea of becoming a leader. The question for us today is not whether or not we're a leader. We are a leader. The question is whether you're a good leader or a bad leader. Let me say that again. All of us are leaders if we are following Christ. If we have responded to His call of salvation and His call to lead a life worthy of His calling. But the question that I want us to consider is what kind of a leader are you becoming? Are you a good leader or a bad leader? And for this, I'll need another volunteer. Does someone come up to help me? Yes, come on up. And what is your name?
Ender.
Ender?
Yes.
Okay, this is Ender. And where are you from?
Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Wow, all the way from Winston-Salem. And he's going to come up here and help us with our little exercise. Whoa, sorry about that. Here you go. Okay, we're going to make two lists on the easel pad here. If you draw a line down the middle, on the left side, we're going to list the qualities of a good leader. So at the top right, good leader. And I know the people in the back may not be able to read this, but this is a list for us to reference so that we can really take a closer look at what becoming a leader is involved. And then on the right, we're going to label bad leaders. Bad leader. Okay, so the question, here's the audience participation part. All right. We're going to make a list of things that make a good leader and things that make a bad leader. All right, can we do that? Okay, so the question to you, what's a quality, what's a thing that makes a good leader or a bad leader? Okay, so raise your hand and name something that makes a good or bad leader.
Listener?
A listener. Okay, a listener would make a good leader. Okay, anything else? Andrew?
A good leader is a servant leader.
A good leader has servitude. And what does servitude mean? Is that an SAT word? Andrew, can you help us out? What does servitude mean?
They're willing to serve.
They're willing to serve. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, willing to serve. All right. Anything else? What makes a good leader or a bad leader? We want to at least fill up this chart, okay? Yes. Marie, right?
Yeah. Very good. Bad leader.
Full of themselves. Arrogance. Okay, arrogance. We'll practice SAT here tonight and come up with these big 10-letter words to learn together. Yes?
A good leader would be patient.
Patient. A good leader would be patient. All right? Thank you. I saw some other hands. Yes, Daniel, right?
Stern.
A good leader is stern and will not compromise.
Passionate.
Passionate and stern. And he knows how to take control. Can we just use some single words? So passionate?
Something I can sell, you know.
Okay, passionate. I heard in control. I heard dedicated. In control, and something about not compromising?
On really important issues.
Okay, so on the other issues, they can compromise a bit. Discretion, okay, that's a good word. That's a pretty big word. Discretion. All right, what else? What makes a bad leader? Let's fill the bad list too. Go ahead.
I was going to say misleading or not truthful.
Misleading or not truthful. Let's go with misleading. We'll also write up not truthful. That's a smaller word, a little easier to understand. That'd be great. Thank you. Some more hands I saw. Yes.
Bad leader could be fastidious.
Fastidious. Okay, it's got to be something that we can spell up here. Okay, but what is fastidious?
Hard to please.
How about that? Fastidious means hard to please. I hope that helps with your SAT. Okay. Some hands from my left side. Yes. Reliable. Okay, that's a characteristic of a good leader. Reliable. Yes. Alice, right? A bad leader is bossy. Okay, bossy. We don't like bossy people. B-O-S-S-Y. Right? Great. Yes.
A good leader needs good followers.
A good leader needs good followers, yes. And how do we get good followers? What can a good leader do to get good followers? Ideas. Anyway, go ahead.
They're well spoken.
Well spoken. Okay, well spoken. Well spoken. They have to be able to communicate. Very good. Well done. Yes, we got more up here.
Confidential.
It is a word. In what sense, though? There's two senses of it. Able to keep your secrets. Okay, confidential. Very good. Trustworthy is another synonym for that. Yes.
Responsible.
That's a great word. Responsible. We have room there? You can write smaller. I'll be able to read it up here, and we'll go through the list in just a second. Okay, let me cover some left side people, and then we're going to wrap this up. Anything else that just hops out at you as you think about leaders? Left side. I'm not leaving you out just because the eagle's over there, is it? Am I? Over here. Good or bad leaders? Yes. Egotistical. Is that a good or bad? Bad. Okay, egotistical is bad.
Egotistical.
We can just say ego for short, all right? Very good. And then we got a hand here and a hand here.
Bad leader is fickle.
Bad leader is fickle. Fickle with an F. How's that? Okay, Josh, and then last hand over there.
Egocentric.
Egocentric. Okay, that's gonna, we're gonna, self-centered. Very good. Josh adds, self-centered as a bad leader. Okay, as a bad leader. And then, okay, two more hands. Back here first. What is that? And define that for me. Lazy. Is that good or bad? That's bad. Okay, lazy is bad. And then Andrew for the last one.
Bad leader is a chicken.
A chicken. A lazy chicken. All right. And chicken scratch. All right. Andrew, thanks for helping us out. Give Andrew a hand for being our scribe. All the way from Winston-Salem. Can you believe that? That's great. All right, so we have two lists up here. A good leader has the characteristics, at least some of these, confidential, listener, servitude, patient, passionate, dedicated, in control, discretion, reliable, well-spoken, and responsible. A bad leader, arrogant, misleading, not truthful, hard to please, bossy, egocentric and egotistical, fickle, self-centered, lazy, and chicken. Now, looking at that list, and as we think about this question, what kind of leader are you? Now, I'm going to assume that all of us would desire to be a good leader. And the question that we will finish with tonight is, well, what's keeping you from becoming that good leader? What's keeping you from becoming that good leader? And how will you get there? How can you become a good leader? Well, I hope to share a few thoughts with you tonight to equip you, to help you think about how to become a good leader. I'll share with you three letters, S, B, and I. SBI for short. SBI is a technique that I learned last summer at a leadership development course, and this technique or method is very helpful for you as a leader to communicate with someone else that you need to influence, that you need to work with, that you need to relate to. It's just a very good technique or method. And as we learn how to do this, we can better communicate with each other. We can work better and accomplish greater things together than we can alone. And it's one more tool that you can put into your tool chest to become a leader. The letter SBI stands for situation. The letter S stands for situation. Situation is to describe what is happening so that the two of you can be referring to the same thing that happened. So as you're giving communication and feedback to someone, you want to describe the situation. Secondly, the letter B, you want to describe the behavior. You want to say what happened in terms of action, in terms of word, or the corollary, inaction, or a lack of word. And then third is the letter I, impact. With the letter I, impact, you want to describe what happened to you. Okay, so the behavior is someone else did something or said something or didn't do something or didn't say something. The impact is first person, you describe what happened to yourself. Let me give you an example. A couple of examples, and then if somebody, we're short on time, so I'm just going to give you a couple of examples, of SCI. Andrew. So as you were saying the closing prayer, or you were saying the prayer, when you were saying the prayer before the last song, let our words be few. As you were saying that prayer, I felt like you had so much emotion from getting a sense of how much God has done for us, and I thought that was wonderful. S, B, and I, what was the situation? The situation was Andrew leading prayer before the closing song. The behavior was Andrew praying with a lot of feelings. And the impact was, well, that made me feel wonderful because I saw how much God was moving in his life. FBI. And it's a good practice to give feedback to someone who's doing things that move you, that impact you, that bless you, because that gives them encouragement. It's something tangible. It's not just, hey, great job, Andrew, but it's something specific. It's something tangible. It's something that we can refer to and learn from. Now, there's positive feedback as well as negative feedback. Positive feedback you can give freely to others as you feel impacted. Negative feedback you have to be a little more careful of. You don't want to just throw it out there to someone. You want to give negative feedback when the person is responsive and asks for it. So, for example, if I notice someone talking in the back and I want to call it out, I may not want to do it in a public context, but I may want to pull them aside after the program and say something like, while I was describing the SBI exercise, I noticed that you were talking with your friends or new friends, and I felt very distracted. Did you see how I used the SBI there? And I also did it in a context that wouldn't bring a lot of shame or attention to the person. I want to be sensitive and do it in a loving and Christ-like manner. I also did something to say, to give ownership to my feeling, that I found it distracting. So it doesn't automatically put someone on the defense and say, well, I don't care. Well, you know what defenses can feel and look like. FBI. I just want to offer that to you as a way of becoming a leader. Something else you should notice. Becoming a leader is your behavior. It's your action and words that creates and results impact and influence on someone else. Back to our definition of leader. A leader is someone who has influence. As you follow Christ, people are paying attention to you. Not watching you like a stalker, but just recognizing that you've said that you're a Christian, and they notice the words that you use or don't use, and they notice the actions that you take and don't take. And the question they ask themselves, is that any different than how my other friends behave who don't follow Christ? And I would hope that it would show up more on the good leader side of the list, and people would want to say, hey, what's different about you? Why do you do the things that you do? Not just church going, not just Bible reading, not praying, but the quality of your work, the quality of your deeds, the quality of your words should make a difference. Now let's move to Scripture and see where we get these ideas from. For this, I need two volunteers with Bibles. Okay, who has Bibles? If you hold them up. All right, we have two up front. That would make it quicker. Josh, if you would look up James chapter 2. We're going to make Josh have the longer passage. Okay, James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. And then I will ask Alice to look up Matthew 5, 13 to 16. All right, and the rest of you that have Bibles, you can turn to that as well. But Josh is going to come up and read for us James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26.
James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brother, if a man comes from a faith that has no deeds? Confess faith in him. Suppose your brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you said to him, Go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed. But there's nothing about his physical need. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action, dead. But someone will say, if you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by what I did. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that, and shut him. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. His faith is made complete by what he did. In the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. He was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to spies and sent them off in different directions. As a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without Jesus is dead.
Great. Thank you, Josh. Great job. Alex, come on up and read for us Matthew 5, 13 to 16.
You're the light and salt of the earth, but if the salt loses saltiness, how can it make be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, and they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Great. Thank you, Alice. Now, we could spend a lot of time studying those passages, but I just want to focus down to two verses. James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We can talk about going to church, having prayer time, being very faithful in doing spiritual things, so-called. But if it doesn't show up in the behavior that we have before other people in other contexts outside of church, I think this verse suggests that that faith is dead. So as we follow Christ, we become leaders, we become influence in the world. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What is it that people can see? Can they see your motives and intentions and desires? Not really. A few people that might be close to you and know you well might pick up some clues, but what is it that they see according to that verse? They see your deeds. They see your works. They see your actions. So your behavior, not just here, but as you go to school, as you're in your family, your behaviors speak very loudly, as the little saying goes, that action speaks louder than words. How do we become a leader? How do we become a teacher? Anybody want to be a teacher when they grow up? Anybody want to be a doctor? Really, no doctors in this room. Amazing. Athlete? Any athletes? Okay. What do you need to do to become an athlete? Ming. How about Ming? And we'll ask her.
I know.
Yeah. What?
Train very hard.
Train very hard. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Determination. Okay. Musician? Any musicians in this room? What do you need to do to become a musician? Accept all challenges. Okay, all those things, I'll boil it down in one word. Practice. How do we become a doctor? We practice. How do we become a teacher? We practice. How do we become a public speaker, athlete, musician? Practice. How do you become a leader?
Right.
Practice. Following Jesus takes practice. I'm still in process myself. I'm still practicing. I leave you with that. Practice. So as I learn to do my work, I get occasions to travel. I don't have cable TV at home, but one of the things I like to do when I'm on the road is turn on cable TV and watch World Poker Tour. And it's a fascinating game, not just because I collect playing cards and not because I gamble per se, but Texas Hold'em has become very popular. And one of the things I noticed in this game is you have all kinds of different players with different personalities, and some will play by putting in a few chips, ante up, maybe raise the bid a little bit. And then there's these occasions when a player will put all their chips in and go all in. And the difference between those who just put a few chips in, try to keep up, and those who go all in, those who risk it all and play the game as much and as hard as they can, those are the ones that potentially emerge as the winner. And so as we think about following Jesus, as we think about becoming a leader, we're all dealt a hand in the game of life, if you will. And we have a certain number of talents and gifts and passions. And the question to you is, will you go all in for the kingdom of God and become the leader that God wants you to be? Let me close in a word of prayer. Hey, Father, thank you for this time tonight to think about following Jesus in a different way, perhaps, that many of us haven't thought of. But you have invited us to live out our faith, to be an influence in this world, to do good deeds that glorify you, that serve the real needs of people, and not just be spiritual or pure and holy in our own little holy huddle. Jesus, you have paid it all. We have nothing to lose if we go all in by faith and use the gifts and talents that you've given to us. Thanks for this time for me to share my story with these young people. I pray that they have a head start on life and that they may bring lots of glory to your name and serve your people well. And that's what TYS is here for, an opportunity and a safe place for us to practice becoming a leader. Thank you for this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, CJ, and appreciate you sharing your life with us, your transparency, your honesty. You know, a lot of times it's gotten things to very ordinary people. And it's through our mistakes and difficulties that God really comes through for us and show us who He is. Well, because of time, we're going to have to shorten our time for small groups. We do want to give you time to